Folks, have you checked out the Irish History Podcast shop recently? Right now, I have a sale of 30% off everything when you use the code SALE30. So go to irishhistorypodcast.ie/shop and get 30% off everything when you use the discount code SALE30.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey folks, my name is Finn Dwyer and this is the Irish History Podcast. I'm currently in the process of making a new series, so I'm knee-deep trawling through days of recordings. And while I will have new content out next week, this episode is one from the archives. It was originally released in 2014 under the clunky title Sounds of a Medieval Life, A Walk Through Dublin in 1320. But the idea of the podcast was to create an immersive experience and give you a sense of what a medieval city actually sounds like. Now, they were chaotic, noisy places, but to reconstruct the sounds of medieval Dublin, I trawled through 700-year-old records looking for references to people, animals, things, or just events that stood out as having distinctive sounds. I think 8 years later, it still holds together well, and it's pure escapism from the stresses of everyday life in 2022. It is short, but these type of episodes can be hard to put together, and that was particularly the case back in 2014 when I was still, I think, finding my feet podcasting. Anyway, as I say, I hope you do enjoy it. If you have been in touch about the Conway trip for supporters, I'll be sending you out a short audio update explaining the trip and how to book in the next couple of days. If you're a show supporter and you haven't gotten in touch but you're still interested in joining me on this trip to the stunning Conway Castle in the north of Wales, you can still do so. It's taking place on the weekend of October the 8th, and Conway is an amazing place. In many ways, it looks a bit like this podcast sounds, if that's not too strange a thing to say. But if you would like to know more about the trip, just get in touch with me. But all that said, now let's get to Dublin in 1320. The year is 1320, and we are in an area known as Hoggan Green, outside the walls of medieval Dublin. Behind us, Dublin Bay stretches much further inland than it does in the 21st century, so we can hear the sound of waves breaking on the distant shore, and the gulls following the fishermen on the nearby River Liffey. Around us, the hallmarks of war are everywhere. Just to our south, we can see the blackened ruins of what was once the Exchequer Building, the centre of the Norman colony in Ireland, destroyed in the recent conflict. But that is not why we're here today. Let's make our way to the medieval city, the walls of which lie ahead of us. In 1320, the approach to the eastern gate of medieval Dublin, the one which we are about to enter through, the Dames Gate, is along Tengmott Street. In 1320, Tengmott Street is nothing more than a dirt track. There's no stone paving or tarmac. Our feet squelch into the muddy surface. As we near the city, the large edifice of the city wall and the twin-towered gate, the Dames Gate, rises before us. As we approach, we can hear the sound of rushing water. It's from the River Poddle, which forms part of the defensive ditch and moat around medieval Dublin. In later centuries, this would be buried beneath the modern city.
but now, in 1320, it's integral to the city's security. There's also another sound emanating from several buildings built along the River Poddle outside the walls. These are city mills using water power to grind grain. This is a highly lucrative business, but if you talk to any of the millers in 1320, they will tell you a tale of misfortune and how they have suffered of late. You see, during the war, the massive Dane Gate was sealed shut for a year, and this heavily impacted the business of the millers. Walking across the bridge, over the Poddle, and up to the Dane Gate, we pass between the two immense towers and then under the arch. There are murder holes, portcullises, and other lethal defensive features. But we are immediately distracted by the sounds from the city and a god-awful smell. It is this overbearing smell of decaying food, human feces, animals, fire smoke that strikes us first. Dublin doesn't have any sewage system in 1320 to speak of. Everyone just uses cesspits, basically holes in the ground, which double as toilets and bins. The stench almost makes you gag. This is matched by equally strange sounds. While we can hear the chatter of numerous people in the town, animals are very much part of medieval urban life. Dogs bark and chickens peck the ground. However, perhaps the strangest for us is the sound of pigs which roam the city. You might want to be careful of these. They can be vicious. One reportedly ate a child, according to a court case in 1295. Indeed, the city of Kilkenny will ban them from the city graveyard in the 1330s. This almost farmyard-like sound is punctuated by the voices of children running through the narrow medieval streets. They are much more visible in the medieval city than what we are used to. You see, there's no schools, so these children's shouts, screams and laughter can be heard throughout the day in the city. As you recover from this barrage on your senses, you might need to stand aside. While there's no cars, there's equally dangerous horses coming by. Or you might want to watch out for that man approaching, hauling a cart along the muddy street. Getting our bearings, we start to walk into medieval Dublin. The street layout is completely different. A few metres inside the Dane Gate, we come to a T-junction, so we can only turn right or left. We will turn left along Lorimer Street. Here, Dublin Castle rises up before us. This is the seat of the justiciar, the chief royal official in Ireland. This year, in 1320, the position is held by Roger Mortimer, the Lord of Trim and the future Earl of March. His deputy is the Earl of Kildare, Thomas Fitzgerald. They are not exactly popular in Dublin, though. Indeed, if we ask Dubliners, they'll probably tell us how their mayor had to write to the king to ask him to command Thomas Fitzgerald to try and establish some control over the lands to the south of the city. Citizens are frequently attacked when they go about their business there. Coming closer to the castle, the sound of masons rings through the street. This is from work being carried out on Dublin Castle. The keeper of works of Dublin Castle, Thomas Faucon, has been ordered to carry out repairs that will cost £26, 10 shillings and 8 pence. He has hired an engineer, known as Master Robert the Engineer, to oversee these works. He's paid a shilling a day, which is not a bad wage. As we approach the gate of the castle, we turn right and walk along the aptly named Castle Street. In the distance, we can see the other major building of medieval Dublin, the Priory of the Holy Trinity, or what is known in the modern world as Christchurch Cathedral. The whirl of streets beneath this massive towering structure are by no means quiet, and getting up to the Priory of the Holy Trinity won't be easy. They're narrow and the buildings on either side lean out over the thoroughfare so the bustling sounds of business don't escape. We can see traders and people hawking goods and the noise echoes through the darkened street. It's almost claustrophobic. These city streets aren't very safe either. Indeed, this very year, 1320, the Archbishop of Dublin, Alexander de Bicknor, has been railing against beggars in the city. A harsh term for what are presumably just refugees from the war that has ravaged Ireland. De Bicknor is complaining specifically about the rise in what is termed euphemistically as mischief. The sights and sounds of medieval Dublin are pretty strange for us modern visitors. Many of the houses have cottage industries. Indeed, just as we pass one, someone opens a door and inside we can see a large pan boiling away over an open fire. It's hydromel, honey and water, used to make the alcoholic drink mead.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Recently, I had a minor argument with a close friend that brought up things from my past that I really needed to get off my chest. I think we've all been there. Now, I found therapy a really great way to work through these issues. For me, I really like online therapy, and BetterHelp is a really great online service that allows you to make space for therapy no matter how busy you are. BetterHelp is convenient, affordable, and gives you the support you need, but also works around your schedule. It's really easy to get up and running with a therapist on BetterHelp. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. You can do your sessions by text, phone, or video call, whichever suits you best. It's all about flexibility, working around your schedule. At the moment, BetterHelp are offering listeners to the show 10% off their first month. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/irishhistory today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/irishhistory.
But we hear a lot more disconcerting sounds as well. On either side of the street, the thin walls can't hold the sound very well, so we hear a lot of what goes on behind closed doors. Much of it is banal, a child playing or adults arguing. However, we also hear more intimate sounds than we are used to in the 21st century. Children are all born in the home. There are no epidurals, and the sounds of women going through labour is commonplace. That's the sound of a newborn baby. Sadly, they only have around a 1 in 2 chance of living to see their 20th birthday. However, we don't have long to dwell on this. We're soon distracted by a procession coming through the street towards us. This is a funeral. These are disturbingly common. Indeed, it might not be the only one you're going to see today. These take place about every 8 days in a village of 100 houses. So in a city like Dublin, with a population of thousands, they're a daily occurrence. As we come to the end of Castle Street, our gaze is drawn towards a massive priory of the Holy Trinity, which is far bigger than any other building aside from the castle. The priory is already 3 centuries old by 1320, and it symbolises the immense power of the church in the city. High up in its belfry, its bell booms out across the city. As we continue along Bow Street, which runs alongside the priory, the sound of cannons singing inside echoes through the streets. At the far side of the priory, we reach the major crossroads in the centre of medieval Dublin. Directly ahead of us is a road that leads to the New Gate. Beyond this lies what was once the largest suburb of medieval Dublin, that of St Thomas. But it has been devastated in the fire of 1317 and is now in ruins. There's also a road to our left, which will take us to St Nicholas's Gate, and the street beyond will take us to the city's second cathedral, St Patrick's. Around St Patrick's lies the suburb of the same name, but this is also in ruins. We avoid this part of town and instead turn right at the priory, firstly onto what is known as Trinity Lane, which leads onto Wine Tavern Street. This is a steep street which leads down towards the river below. As its name suggests, this is where the city's taverns are. Music can be heard along with revelry. But these taverns are also pretty raucous places, illustrated by that fight breaking out beside us. Halfway down Wine Tavern Street, there's another city wall and a large gate which we pass through, the King's Gate. This was once the extent of the city, but during better times in the 13th century, when Dublin had boomed economically, large tracts of land were reclaimed from the river. After we pass through the King's Gate, we now move on to this reclaimed land from the riverbank. This area of the city is enclosed by its own new wall, and a large tower called Pritchett's Tower lies at the very end of Wine Tavern Street, which blocks our view of the river and docks beyond. However, as we approach the wall, we can hear the sound of the river beyond. And we find that it's easy to pass through the city wall here because it hasn't been finished. So we head out onto the docks. We are now on the city docks, looking at the northern bank of the River Liffey opposite us. The most prominent site here is the massive St Mary's Abbey, a Cistercian foundation that stretches for over 100 metres along the riverbank. Walking westward along the docks, there are numerous ships, known as cogs, moored on the quayside. If you talk to anyone here, they will tell you 1320 hasn't been a great time for shipping. Indeed, the royal officials in the Exchequer have been trying to send a gift of 7 horses to the King in England for months, but they've been stopped by inclement weather and a shortage of ships. Now, they finally have their vessels, and they are being fitted out on the docks. Carpenters are building a special deck to hold the horses, and an Exchequer official has purchased 80 planks of wood and 180 of what are known as spikings, or nails, for this purpose. Moving along the dock, we approach the only bridge that connects the walled city on the south bank of the River Liffey to its suburb on the north bank. Walking over the bridge, we hear the sound of more religious singing. Coming in the opposite direction, we meet 2 cowled figures wearing black cloaks over a white habit underneath, and it's obvious where the chanting is coming from. These distinctive figures are members of the Dominican Order, presumably coming from St. Saviour's Dominican Priory, which is situated on the north bank of the river near the bridge, where the forecourts will be built in later centuries. In 1320, it's heavily damaged though. 3 years previously, in 1317, when Dublin faced siege, much stone had been taken from this building to bulk up the city defences. Leaving the bridge behind, we step onto the north bank of the Liffey and into the suburb known as Oxmantown. The main street leading north from here, which will later be called Church Street, is now known as Oxmantown Street. This name arises from Dublin's founders, who were Vikings, or men from the east, Ostmen or Oxmen. Somewhere in the distance, we can hear faint shouts. This is probably as a result of the work of Philip of Colchester, a city hangman, as they are coming from the direction of the street known as Hangman's Lane, which leads to the gallows. Colchester himself was previously accused of murder, but acquitted. Proceeding up along Oxmantown Street, you can hear the sound of a blacksmith working a forge in the distance. Perhaps it's that of William the Smith of Oxmantown, who sold some property to William the Glassmaker in the year just past 1319. Within a few hundred metres of the river, we have come to the limits of Oxmantown and medieval Dublin. North of Oxmantown begins open countryside and large manors or farms, many of which are owned by the church. Sadly, however, in 1320, much of this land is laid to waste, having been heavily damaged by the war. To venture out there is another day's journey. So it is here that we will finish our visit to medieval Dublin. I hope you enjoyed our journey through late medieval Dublin. As I said at the beginning, I would love to hear what you think. So drop me a line at Irish History on Twitter, our Irish History Podcast on Facebook. Thanks again, and until next time, Sláinte.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.